happens. It's a movie that matters.
What about fire down below?
They both matter?
Combined, I guess they both matter. Does two adequate, like slightly adequate, but really bad, improved Steven Seagal movies count as one good movie that matters?
Yes. That's an easy, that's an obvious question. That's a stupid question even to ask.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm getting a beer, dude.
Oh, okay. Give me one. No, don't do that. You're in this.
All right, I'll be right back.
Do you think that Seattle Seagulls?
Uh-huh.
If Steven Seagal became a big enough person, like he's already huge, but do you think he's big enough that if he died, that Seattle would change the name of their football team to the Seattle Seagulls, like just for one?
You mean the Steven Seagulls?
No, the Seattle Seagulls instead of the.
Oh, Seagulls?
Yeah. And like a picture of his head on the side of the helmet instead of.
That would be interesting.
You think he's big enough? That
like big enough in Seattle?
Like physically big enough. You think he's physically big enough at this point?
Like that he could threaten them with some kind of gravity?
How much do you think he weighs now?
I don't know.
He's like 6'4". He's got to be like Shaq. Shaq sized, right?
I don't know.
Shaq was like 7'1". Like, I think his biggest, he was like 3'8".
Seagal's not 380. He was pretty lean in both of these. These were some of the later. This one might have come out to theaters also, I think.
It was a theater one.
This one and Glimmer Man were to come with some of the last theatrical Steven Seagal films. And he's doing right. He's doing justice. He's always got some kind of past. Not really in this one, I guess. I guess in this one he's just an agent, huh?
He's always just an agent. Right? He's an agent of something, everything. And they have to give him something so that there's, like, an okay reason why he's able to just brutalize people. Like, walk into communities and just brutalize person.
Well, they're bad people, right?
Sometimes there's somebody who's, like...
had a hard life.
They just had a hard life, and, like, he walks in, and they're, like, you know, like, who's this guy messing up our way of life? And somebody steps up to him to make him stop. And instead he grabs their thumb. And he does that thing. And they're like,
ah! Or he punches their nose.
And then he punches them in the nose. He breaks somebody's windpipe. And he just, like, he just wrecks people. He just comes through and just wrecks.
That's true. All right, I just got back. What are we talking about?
No, the best were the gang kids, Robin the Shop, and Hard to Kill. Or no, Above the Law.
Same, though. That was Hard to Kill.
And he's just so cavalier and flippant about the shopkeeper getting killed.
Yeah, the shopkeeper gets killed. Yeah, Mark and I watched Hard to Kill. That one.
And he goes home to bang.
Oh, that was the betrayal night.
Yeah.
You betrayed us.
Right.
Yeah, betrayal night. What was the date of betrayal night? So we can live on in infamy.
What was about, 6 weeks ago?
Oh, it had been a long
time. Did it coincide with Pearl Harbor?
I don't think so.
What was the motivation for betraying our... It's been like 2 years that we've been doing the Seagal stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then Ian just...
So he calls it the fall of Seagal.
Ian throws it all away.
It comes back around.
It hasn't even reached its wheelhouse yet. He's calling it the fall of Seagal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just throw the whole thing away just for one night with Mark.
Seriously, dude. This is like a marriage we've been working on, the three of us, for a long time.
Right.
And then this sexy bitch comes along.
So what you're saying is Ian fucked up?
Lots of guys fucked up on tonight on Fire Down Below.
Not really. They just didn't know any better. They're ignorant.
Oh, by the way.
Steven Seagal is neighbors to Michael Jackson.
By the way, we have to point out that this is not a Fuel podcast. This is a movie that matters.
Okay, right.
We're doing it.
What's the last movie that mattered? What was the last one?
What was the last movie that mattered?
It's
been a while.
It might have been... You might have killed it when you went on and on about how... No Escape was the epitome of a movie that mattered, and then when we finally watched it, it was
garbage. Defeated,
yeah.
It was a trashy.
And that might have been the end of movies that mattered.
Okay. No, it's not the end. What are you talking
we're
about?
Back.
There's
we're back.
Movies that
okay.
matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So which episode of Movies That Matter is this? Which number?
This is Movies That Matter 4 or 5.
Yeah, I think this is 4 or 5.
There was Tango and Cash.
We'll call this 4 or 5.
There was Money Train, Tango and Cash.
There was Highlander 3, The Final Dimension.
Yep.
That's all I
and
remember.
There was no escape.
There was no escape.
So that'd be 4.
So this is 5.
This is 5. Yeah, that squares.
This is 5 and 6.
That squares with what I have.
No, it's 5 because two great, great world-changing Steven Seagal movies equals one Tango and Cash.
We're not going to count the whole 4-pack as one?
How's Universal Soldier fit in?
I don't think it's moved the nice.
That's
okay.
That's just dumb, dude.
Isn't that's Van Damme, right?
It's Van Damme and Dolph.
A movie right. that matters is a very specific type of film. It's not just a bad movie. It's not just a good movie. It's somewhere in between. Like movies that are just so intolerable. It's just so intolerable and weird. Like that's what a movie that matters.
How about They Live?
Oh, that's way too good. That's a great movie. Okay. That's a great movie. That's an actual good movie.
It'd be like Vampires.
No, John Carpenter. John Carpenter is just too good.
Okay. To be a movie that through matters. And through, huh?
A movie that matters has to be directed by like the guy who did Cobra. Like Cobra is probably a movie that matters.
Right. Okay.
Marion Cobretti.
So why do they call him Glimmerman?
Yeah.
Because Nom, like I explained before we even having never seen the movie. None of us had seen Glimmerman, right? Yeah, that was new for all of us.
So the movies are, did you already say what the movies are?
No, you were going to do
the movies
it.
Are Fire Down Below and Glimmer Man. And together, they combine as a pretty decent Steven Seagal movie.
Yeah.
And before that, there weren't any. I posit that Under Siege and Under Siege 2 are probably the only two okay Steven Seagal movies.
I think that Hard to Kill and Above the Law are actually pretty good as action movies.
What about Marked for Death?
I still have never seen Marked for Death. That one's not in the 4-packs. That's going to have to be...
What about Exit Wounds?
Exit Wounds was terrible.
Yeah, that was really not good.
Really,
and they unceremoniously killed Jill Hennessy off.
Yeah, so like super violently, too.
Yeah, she was in a car wreck.
So this was something about these movies. Not this one so much. This one was pretty... This one was
pretty awesome.
Like,
Fire Down Below.
Show on like a TV. TBN.
The Trinity Broadcast Network.
Yeah, RoboCop 3.
Why are we talking about non-Steven Seagal related stuff?
Is he in it?
No, Joel Manassi is though.
Oh, okay.
Stay focused, Mark. Focus.
This is a movie that matters. We're talking movies that matter.
Have you seen they killed her off the same way they killed her off in Law and Order?
Pretty much.
Wow.
So, anyway, Glimmer Man was really gruesomely violent for a Steven Seagal movie. Right? Wasn't it?
You think it was gruesomely violent?
Yeah, there's all those people like nailed to.
Should I? See
oh, it? Right. It had
the Family Man.
Yeah.
It had the psycho killer, and then the guy that was doing it just as a cover up because he was.
Well, but a it's CIA not just that. Guy. Like all like the fights were very violent, and then to offset how much more dark and violent it was, like fight wise and murder wise,
they threw Keenan in there for comedy.
They threw Keenan in there for comedy, and he had a bunch of like just great like.
No. I was disappointed with Keenan.
Like Full House.
You were
level.
Disappointed?
Yeah, I thought that he could have been like they could have actually done an effective buddy.
They could have written jokes for him,
but they didn't really do anything like that. He was wasted.
I'm pretty sure that the guy who played Uncle Joey on Full House wrote his jokes.
Dave Coulier.
Yeah, Dave Coulier.
The guy isn't he supposed to be the one that Alanis Morissette wrote that song about?
You guys have no focus, do you? Is this why your podcast on?
It's called the Futile Podcast for a reason.
Jagged Little Pill.
This is like Tangent City.
Jagged Little Pill's about Dave Coulier?
Yeah. You didn't know that.
It's about Dave Coulier? You're kidding me.
I shit you not. That's what's
no,
been
it's
going
not.
On.
There's not a single
like
song ever written by anyone.
Years.
There's not that. If Dave Coulier was married to Mozart, he wouldn't have written a song about Dave Coulier. Alanis Morissette didn't write a song about Dave Coulier.
Okay, it's yeah.
It's, I don't believe. I choose not to believe.
Okay,
I'll
back to
history.
Steven Seagal to Glimmer Man. So you're right. Violent, kind of. His white ex-wife is killed.
Yeah, and also,
violently
in that one. Steven Seagal seems
that's
like
how he gets custody.
He's acting with some emotion in Glimmer Man. A little bit, which is as much as we've ever.
No,
you don't think so. As much as we've ever seen from.
He musters some of it up.
I didn't see.
He
it.
Does. You remember at the end when he's fighting that guy? And he keeps saying, is that the best you got? Is that the best you
got? That was emotion?
And then he goes, well, then I'll just have to kill you then.
And then Ian made the wrought iron joke?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was wrought iron. It was
wrought.
Heaven forbid, stuff that's made of rods is called rot because it's
rot.
I understand. Yes, you explained it to me.
Like duct tape.
Duct tape? Well, everyone knows it's duct tape.
There's a brand now called duct tape.
Yeah.
So now...
And it's a laptop, not a lab top.
Who called it a laptop?
We could cover all kinds of these things.
All these things that you think wrong.
I don't think them wrong.
What the fuck's a laptop? What's a laptop?
I thought it was a laptop.
I was like, wait, because people use them like in labs and
yeah,
stuff?
Because
they're short,
right.
They're quick, and
back
and
to the mobile. Lab.
Yeah. People don't just use them on their bed looking up internet porn. They use them in labs.
Yeah, people used to do things with computers
yeah,
and not just jerk off and watch reality shows.
People used to solve equations on computers.
In labs.
Yes, in labs.
Computers took us to the moon.
Yeah, it's
true. Yeah.
In the 60s.
Now they take you into the bedroom.
Okay, so yes, yeah, so it was a weird one. It was, but like you talked about how they also have, like there's actually like some actual decent fighting in Rubber Man.
Yeah,
but
no, it was
it's not,
it was
not
way
as
faster.
Yeah.
It was there was better cinematography, better choreography, better direction. It seemed and like I mean, the dialogue was terrible and the plot was terrible, the same old usual thing. But there was just something different about it. Like there was a darker edge to it, and it was like a non Steven Seagal movie that he happened to be in, like a serial killer in L.A.
Yeah, right.
Shot with Tony Scott filters, like
a little
that's
bit.
Just absolutely non Steven Seagal.
Rest
and
in
he
peace.
Was in. Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah.
Threw himself off a bridge.
Really?
Yeah.
After making a Steven Seagal movie?
No. After making probably his 15th Denzel Washington movie, I don't know. What
it was that train one, No Stop or Non Stop or. I know it wasn't called that. That was the Liam Neeson movie. Man, I saw that trailer for Taken 3. I'm so glad I haven't seen the first two yet.
Oh, so you can watch them
I can do the
on.
Whole...
You should do them backwards. You should do 3 and then 2 and then 1.
I might just... I might go... Yeah, I might do them backwards.
That's how I read, like, books and magazines and stuff.
Yeah.
Start at the back...
Right,
well, you, like,
right to left like a manga.
Yeah, like a manga.
Ian, do you have anything to contribute?
About Glimmerman? I've been throwing stuff out there left and right.
You haven't thrown anything except for the words you...
The title Warhammer 40,000.
Yeah,
that's all you've contributed so far.
The Warhammer 40,000 podcast.
Why do you think this the Glimmer Man matters?
Like you said, the cinematography was better.
What does it say about society and life?
Society and life.
Yeah, sneak up on people. That's what it meant to me. Can't let them know you're coming.
It said that people would make do. Like this was released theatrically. This had like trailers and people were like they would pay. It said that like
I think there was a whole lot of gay people characters in the movie. I think it was saying something about
because of Keenan. What was he collecting stamps or something?
He was into old movies.
Oh, Casablanca memorabilia.
He had Casablanca stuff all over his exquisite studio apartment.
It's Seagal called a shithole.
Skid Row.
Well, after it was burned up, it wasn't good, but it was, that's...
Well, when you burn something down, it's not
it's
good anymore.
At that point, Steven Seagal, he's like, what? No, this was great. He's like, yeah, it looks really bad now that it's all burned.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then there's the weirdly homoerotic thing between,
between
the warden from Shawshank and, Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Who, for some reason, played the movie in a southern accent.
Well, he was an evil CIA guy.
The whole movie is them just swimming naked.
Well, they were naked. They were like swimming.
Might as well have been.
Okay.
In my head, they were naked.
They were touching on each other.
Yeah, a little bit.
He's like, come on in, the water's fine.
Huh?
Brian Cox, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And the warden from Shawshank.
Come on in, the water's fine.
The water's fine.
They just kicked the sodomites out.
Uh-huh. A lot of lines about sodomites.
There were no lines about sodomites.
Might as well have been. The scene when he goes into... that Italian restaurant was awesome, and that went on for like.
And when he entered the phone,
he's
like, it'll be about 2 months of rent.
He answers the phone multiple times, and then just like brutally, like he always brutally beats everyone. You know, it's everyone
when they fuck up.
Yeah. But in this case, like he just like, and I don't know if they sped up the film like in modern martial arts stuff or what, but like Seagal was actually moving pretty quick while these guys were attacking him, and he was just. But like his martial art is not just like punching and kicking, it's when someone gets in close, you do like something really violent, like dislocate stuff and break stuff, and then you pick them up and hurl them through whatever plate glass thing.
Yes,
like that's the final blow in Aikido, I think. Like Aikido
requires plate glass.
Aikido competitions, like they put these two people in a ring together, right? And they just put huge panes of glass all around them. You just see how many panes of glass you can throw somebody through. And that's how you know if you're the world champion or not. Because you threw someone through more panes of glass than the other guy.
Sounds about right.
thanks once again for your contribution. Does anyone other than me have anything else to say
about Glimmerman?
Yeah.
Mark, what do you think about Glimmerman?
Have you seen it?
No. I didn't see it, no.
But he did see Fire Down Below, so maybe it's time to go to Fire.
And you guys saw Hard to Kill, right?
Yeah.
Because you betrayed us.
Right.
Yeah, we'll talk about your betrayal for a second while I go.
So that was the betrayal.
Hard to Kill.
Was it worth it?
I told you guys that I'd watch it again with you guys, that it's worth watching. It's a movie that matters.
So you feel good about it? No, no regrets?
You can take that.
I think I told you we were going to watch it, and you were like, oh, great. I'm pretty sure it did, so.
Probably. All
right.
You had your chance. We got, Weird Science, Kelly, what's her name?
Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock.
Seagal.
As the nurse.
Mrs. Beaton Seagal.
Yeah. And she takes a fancy to him. After.
So he does the raping and the beating.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh man.
And we got William Sadler, Bill Sadler, as the up and coming evil politician who needs to have.
Yeah, wasn't it Bill? Yeah, the credits were like.
It said Bill Sadler, yeah. Before he became William. Before Die Hard 2, I think. Maybe just barely before Die Hard 2, though, huh? And what do we got? It's a pretty straightforward plot. I mean, he goes after, you know, he has the videotape or whatever. And they didn't kill his kid, they just killed his wife, huh?
Killed his wife and killed his partner.
Yeah, they went after everybody.
That was a fuck up.
It was a major one. He had to take them all to the blood bank when he finally was recovered.
I have an analogy.
About the blood bank?
No, about the betrayal.
Oh, I figured.
So the betrayal is like this. What you just said to explain away the betrayal, which is like, oh, I can watch again with you guys. It kind of. It's like this. It's like Ian is a virgin bride, right?
Like a chick with a dick.
And on the wedding, on his wedding night, to me and Seth, he tells us that, you know, he banged that whore, Mark.
Right.
And then he's like, but don't worry, I can still be a virgin with you guys tonight. It doesn't work that way, Ian.
How much do I charge?
No blood.
You're expensive.
There's no blood that way.
You're an expensive whore. You were a high class escort.
Wow.
If Monster Squad
$5,000 a night call girl.
If Monster Squad taught us anything, right? Other than how to get pulled into the void with thumbs up.
Fuck this working shit.
The betrayal is.
It's that the virginity doesn't count.
It's still working, Mark.
It's still working.
It's a lot of working.
Work is work.
Well, I'd only have to bang 200 times, I'd have $1 million tax.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's not bad.
It gets you on the tax. That's how they got Capone, dude.
Because he was a whore?
How do you pay taxes as a whore?
You just file your income. You say what you made and pay a good percentage.
And you could say, you could make up something about
they don't care if you do illegal activities in your taxes.
As long as you pay your taxes.
Yeah. There's a different, it's a different agency.
If it's all like under
I guess
the table
you just
money,
say yourself employed.
If it's all under the table money, though, who is there to lead a paper trail to you? Are there receipts when you're a whore?
But if you imagine if someone's like, so how did you afford to do any of this? If
Jerry Springer, he wrote a check to a whore, and that's how he got busted when he was the mayor. I'm not
did
making
get a,
that
did
up.
He get here. A receipt. They sent him an invoice.
He probably used
for services rendered.
Wait, so Jerry Springer, he's mayor of Cincinnati.
Yes.
Then he went to a whore, wrote a check, got busted. Then he got his own show where he had final thoughts and was sanctimonious and judged other people.
Well, before that, he worked. He
administration or something.
No, he was part of the election team for
Jerry Brown or some piece of shit like that.
Robert Kennedy.
Well, that sounds about
but
right.
But I think that was right after he came out of law school.
Isn't Robert Kennedy dead?
Yeah, he was assassinated in 68.
Sirhan, right?
The Ambassador Hotel, which no longer exists.
and they hired Jerry Springer after that anyway. Like, off chance that he's still alive. We're going to need somebody for his re-election campaign.
So anyway, the betrayal won't ever be forgotten about.
Never be forgotten about. I already paid for the tattoo. It's getting done.
Oh, wow.
In advance with a check.
And we were going to have a flawless Seagal marathon going.
Hard to Kill was the pièce de résistance.
Well, we still marked for death.
Yeah, but it's never going to be complete, though. There's always going to be that taint.
And Under Siege and Under Siege 2.
Right.
It's like that episode of...
isn't there one more on Netflix, a brand new one? That's really
bad? There's tons of them.
There's not tons on Netflix.
Well, not there on Netflix, but there's tons of...
I think it's a DVD, it's a show.
Like, yeah. Last 2 years Steven Seagal movies, I swear. There's like seven of them.
At Kmart?
There's a couple of them there, yeah. And there's one on Red... There's like two or three on Redbox. There's one called War...
They sound intriguing.
Oh, what if this is a sequel to that one with the 6-0?
I don't know.
6-0.
Remember with Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
The family.
Because they got away.
I think that we're kind of pot committed now. We have to kind of finish what we started.
We have to finish, yeah. Completely pot committed.
So speaking of
unfortunately, the pot odds are not in our favor. Yeah.
So
we're playing to lose.
The one everyone always confuses with.
On Deadly Ground,
because it's a similar plot.
Because they're both about the environment.
Yeah.
It's in his sanctimonious. Now, On Deadly Ground is the one where, it was funny, I mentioned On Deadly Ground to someone a couple weeks ago, and they're like, oh, is that the one where...
It just comes up in normal conversations, usually with me too. Yeah.
Like, I was talking to a waitress at a diner, and we talked about On Deadly Ground for like 7 minutes. And the person was like, oh, that's that ends with him like sanctimoniously talking about how we need to change our ways for like 12 minutes for like the end of the movie's a voiceover of Seagal just talking. And I read about it, and the studio begged him. They're like, please, please, cut that last voiceover. We don't want it. We don't need it. It doesn't need to be there. And he's like, if you he said he was going to pull.
He stood his ground.
He was going to pull his support and like all this stuff. They didn't let him put that like super self-righteous 5-minute-long voiceover about you know, I don't remember what it was about, but it was about the environment. You know,
it was about oil basically and fossil fuels.
But this one doesn't have it in there. This one's much.
He preached a little bit.
There's some
literally at the preaching.
Yeah, that's true. That's, he did do that. That's true. But in this one, he plays a much softer Seagal. He's a much more soft, gentle Seagal.
Hey, I was just fixing porches, man.
He was fixing porches. He was very, very soft-spoken.
He was mending relationships.
He had a couple of funny lines. He had a couple of his usual lines where he insulted, like, where he threatens someone with some weird simile or, like, analogy that just, it just is, like, out there. And he tells the sheriff something about how he's going to have to go to get some special cream from a proctologist. He figures out which hole hurts the worst, or something like that.
Yeah, because he's gonna have 300 agents up every orifice that he got.
Right. But like, as his career went along, he decided like, I don't need to really raise my voice too much anymore. So I'm just gonna.
This was after the other one.
This is. Well, I think Fire Down Below was pre Man, wasn't it?
No, I mean this was possibly. This was after
On Deadly Ground. That had to be.
Yeah, it was definitely before. He lost a lot of his cachet for that.
You still didn't watch that video I sent you?
He had tons of cachet before.
Well, he directed On Deadly Ground.
Did he?
Yeah. You know, that was a big production, I would imagine.
Oh, he's got one called Pistol Whipped. That sounds good.
Dude, are you going to watch that video I sent you on Facebook?
With Piers Morgan?
Yes, I'll watch it, yes.
Here's Morgan and who?
Steven Seagal.
When was that?
I don't know.
Okay, so. Fire Down Below was 97. On Deadly Ground was 94. His name in that one was Forrest Taft.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. This was Jack Taffer or something?
Jack Taggart.
Taggart.
Exit Wounds was 2001. He was Orin Boyd.
When was Glimmer Man?
Glimmer Man. I'm not finding Glimmer Man.
It's stricken for your record.
Oh, 96. So, okay. Glimmer Man was before this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I think Glimmer Man.
How many are after that?
30.
Really?
Yeah, let me see.
We're going to be at this for like 6 years.
After Glimmer Man? You want to hear a list? So, Fire Down Below. The Patriot, Exit Wounds, we already watched.
Wait, The Patriot?
Yeah.
He's in that movie with Mel Gibson?
No, it's another movie called The Patriot.
Okay.
Half Past Dead, that one went to theaters. That might have been another one with DMX. Oh. Half Past Dead is Steven Seagal and Ja Rule.
No. I'm there.
Yeah, I'm there too. Okay, hang on. Let me go through the list. foreigner, out for a kill, belly of the beast, out of reach, into the sun. I'm on the wrong list.
Were those all ones he produced?
Those are ones he produced, but they're probably all ones he was at, too. Okay, Exit Wounds, Ticker, Half Past Dead. The Foreigner, Out for a Kill, Belly of the Beast, Clementine, Out of Reach, Into the Sun, Submerge, Today You Die, Black Dawn, Mercenary for Justice, Shadow Man, Attack Force, Flight of Fury, Urban Justice, Pistol Whipped, Kill Switch. He was in the Onion movie, apparently. Against the Dark, Driven to Kill, The Keeper, A Dangerous Man. He was in Machete. Born to Raise Hell, something called Sheep Impact. He was in a TV series called True Justice.
Yeah, that's the one on Netflix, though.
25 episodes.
Oh, no.
Maximum Conviction, which we saw.
Yeah. That was the one with Stone
Cold. Force of Execution, which we saw.
Wait, that was the one with Big Rams.
Maximum Conviction was the one with Stone Cold.
Oh, and...
And the Force of Execution was the one with Big Rams. So.
Okay, right, yeah.
There was one called A Good Man. There was one called Gutshot Straight, which I just saw on video somewhere.
You betrayed us?
No, I just saw that it was on video. Like, I want to say I saw it at...
You said you saw it, like you watched
the movie. I saw it on video.
I think you betrayed us.
Videos, right? I've
never betrayed.
Why would I watch a Steven Seagal movie on my own in my spare time?
Never betray.
Anyway, that's it.
That sounds like a more of a project than I was...
Yeah, than you were willing to undertake.
Yeah.
That might be too much for you.
What do you think, Ian?
Well, I want to get to 400 before the next party, before the summer.
That's pretty ambitious.
What, 60 more episodes?
Well, if you counted this as two different ones. So
we're not going to do that.
We'll keep talking about
the... I'm not going to juice the episode numbering like that.
You got too much to take.
Asterisk. It'll be asterisks.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to Belichick this thing.
Nice. You mean Belichick juices?
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, but he cheated and went to Super Bowls.
He didn't?
He did.
What are you talking
about? You're talking about the Spygate.
It's not cheating. Spygate.
It is cheating.
No.
He was fined. The team was fined.
So what?
Huge amounts for cheating.
It's neither of you two. I'm getting a fucking booty call right now.
Oh.
I only ever get texted by Zach or Mark, and they're both in the room right now. And there's...
Well, by all
it's
means,
late.
Don't open the phone and see
well,
who it is.
Well, if you get a pie, I'd like a piece.
No, I know who this is. It's not a booty call. I know what this is. Yeah.
Suspense is killing me.
If you get a pie, I'd like a piece.
Oh, that was a good line.
Continue. I just have to do this.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we're carrying this as it is. So.
You are. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try to get with it here.
There's really nothing to say.
Well, they fucked up.
That's all you need to say.
Pretty much.
Steven Seagal comes to town. People fuck up, and he hurts them really bad.
I like the idea that, like, you see this menacing, just ridiculous-looking man waltz up to you with just unbelievable cocky self-consciousness.
And Zen eyes.
Yeah. And then, and still all these people, these like backwoods rednecks in all these movies are like, I can take them. Here I go.
Well, multiple times, too.
Yeah.
They still have like the bandages on them. They're like, this time I'll get them because I have an extra guy with me.
This is now I'm ready to just attack.
And not only that, but like the eighth or tenth guy in a group, how stupid is he?
You set me up. This
because
is good.
All the other guys before him just got their necks broken, their arms broken, or thrown across pool table.
Their nose pushed into the back of their brains.
You honor, though. You don't just run away, and everybody talks about you for the rest of your life.
Because afterwards, when you're in the support group with all your half-dead friends, they're like, you didn't back us up! You're like, ah, I'm...
Part of it, you really get into the psychology of it, and they get it on the other one.
The other one.
Not on Deadly Ground.
In Warhammer 40,000?
No, in...
The Betrayal one.
In Fire Down Below.
Fire Down Below.
Oh. Well, that's how I had it right. And the one where the guy's talking about he needs time to change. Yeah. All of these, it's a symptomatic thing of people that are like, they're kind of half suicidal. They're like, maybe I will be the one. Part of them think maybe they'll be just the punk that gets lucky. Like, eventually Batman's going to go down. Maybe it will be a punk that gets lucky. So, you know, each punk thinks, maybe I'm the punk that'll get lucky. And that's all it takes. Maybe I'll be the punk that
takes down this guy, and then I get
a hero,
free ride.
I have a great idea for a movie.
Batman vs. Seagal?
I don't know what it's called, but it's starring all 50 of Steven Seagal's characters from his movies, and he plays all 50 characters. And it's like Saw. They all wake up in like on like a desert island.
Like Ghost Voyage.
Sounded like Ghost Voyage.
They all wake up on a desert island, all these 50 Seagal characters, right? They're all the main characters from his movies that he played, and they're all just exactly the same, right? But they have different names, so they're different people. And they're all equally self-confident and arrogant and brutal and awful, right? And they wake up, and they don't know how they got in this.
But how do they work together?
They don't.
You think he's arrogant?
How do they build rafts?
There's a radio there. It's like, you guys all have to kill each other, and the best one gets a prize, right? So the movie is just all the Seagals killing each other. That'd be great, right? Would you watch that?
I definitely would watch that.
Yeah.
It'd be like a combination of The One and Battle Royale.
Right.
Battle Seagal.
Gross. That's bad. So which Seagal do you think would win at all?
I think Ryback.
Casey Ryback?
Casey Ryback is the only one
who's
been in two.
Under Siege.
We really do need to show him Under Siege. He's like Tommy Lee Jones is in that? Who's Ryback?
Yeah.
Gary Busey. Yeah.
The Buse? He's like, looks like Ryback's more than just a cook.
You've actually never seen Under Siege?
No, he just hasn't seen it.
He's never seen
years.
Under Siege, and we watched that.
He's seen Under Siege before. We watched it with Blevin one time.
Wait, you just called that a... You didn't like Fire Down Below?
It's not a good movie.
You just said it was a good movie. We asked
you said it was enjoyable.
You said
it was enjoyable.
Were you being sarcastic when you said no?
I think it's just the metric when you're comparing it to Under Siege.
Oh my gosh. We're building up Under Siege like it's not some sort of ridiculous B-movie with Steven Seagal in it that happened to be in the theater.
It's like an Academy Award.
It made like $100 million.
It was kind of like, Under Siege was the only non-B-movie that Steven Seagal ever made.
But he still plays the same outrageous, awful person.
And he's surrounded by a fuckload of talent.
Morris Chestnut, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Erica Lane, great talent. There's Gary Busey and Tommy Lee Jones plus Morris Chestnut and Erica Laniak.
The old fucks?
And the old fucks.
The old fucks that show up and they like know how to man the guns and stuff.
Now, there had to be, you would know. It seemed like there were more people in that.
Now, I want to say that one of the senators was the guy who was or wasn't Sydney's dad on Alias. The bad guy dad.
Right.
is it too much of a stretch to think that Glimmer Man is the same character from Under Siege?
Oh, shit. In Jack, Dale Dye. Okay. Dale Dye was on it.
It's not a stretch because he plays the same person in every single movie.
Right.
I like to imagine that Steven Seagal in these movies is just a drifter serial killer. He keeps changing his name and pretending that he's an FBI agent or a CIA agent or whatever.
EPA.
Going into town to town, and he just kills like 50 people, and then he like...
For fun.
Then he teaches people a moral.
A moral
then he moves
lesson.
On, right? Then
he preaches
on.
For a while.
Yeah.
Why does Steven Seagal matter?
Why? Because Zach's got a good point about it helps you deconstruct the action, the American action hero a little bit.
That's what you said?
So my question is... No, it's not a question. So
it's an answer.
It's an answer, for sure. So why do you keep... What are you cutting up lines of? What is that?
It's just... It's the foil from the little chocolates.
Oh, what did it say? It says something about rape on a tarp, right?
No, it didn't say rape on a tarp. It says someone is thinking of you now, right now.
When I was a kid and I hadn't seen a lot of these movies, I thought...
My parents didn't raise me right.
You got these movies. You got these Arnold Schwarzenegger action movies. These Sylvester
Stallone
action movies.
Allowed to watch
and these Jean-Claude Van Damme action movies. And these Steven Seagal action movies. I lumped them together. You see what I'm saying? When I thought about them, I thought like they were all the same. Like, these are action movies, but they're not.
Okay.
Did you
Seagal
like
movies,
lump in Terms of Endearment too?
No. Steven Seagal movies are their own animal. Because they're... Now that I've seen so many of them, like...
You think Chuck Norris cares more or something?
No. They play... All the good guys and all the people in those movies play good people. Steven Seagal always plays a horrendous human being.
He was a good guy in this one.
He was a good...
He bought the honey.
If
Yeah.
No, he was a better guy in this one.
He bought the honey.
But
he bought all the honey.
Look, look.
And he bought her more honey building stuff.
Do you believe that? Do you believe in adages?
No.
Those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, etc. What about the adage, actions speak louder than words? So, he says a bunch of nice, soft-spoken words, right? But his actions are, if anyone shows the slightest bit of aggression or disagreement with him even, he just breaks their limbs and tears them.
If they fuck up, sure.
Usually they've attempted to...
kill him.
Yes.
Sometimes they have. In his really bold stage, like before these movies,
his really bold stage,
he would walk into a room, and he's always wagging his head like this when he talks, which is how you know he's like super confident, like overconfident, like wagging his head, and someone will say something to him, and he's just like, preemptive strike, like, you know, I bet these 17 guys are going to jump me, he thinks in his head. So he just starts like punching them directly in the nose, and it's like going right into their brain pan, like guy after guy, just breaking necks. And they're like,
"You sound vaguely anti-Seagal."
Anti-Seagalic.
A little bit.
I do think. What kind of killing do you think you'd make if you made only Steven Seagal bobbleheads? Because the bobbing of the head thing. Because it's apt.
You can edit that out.
It's
long.
Apt.
Ian thought he had a winner there.
Classic Ian.
Not the first time.
Classic Ian.
Won't be the last. Persevere.
Yes, Ian.
So, and then,
persevere.
So in Fire Down Below, it's got a lot of subplots. Oh, it's got a lot of musicians. So Ian was really psyched to see.
I predicted that Randy Travis Tritt would be in this.
Randy Travis Tritt were in it.
Uh-huh.
It also had the great Kris Kristofferson.
And it had that one guy.
Star of Limbo.
There's no way you actually like guessed that out of nowhere.
I did guess that out of nowhere.
Which was a horrible movie.
Yeah. And the Blade films, of course.
Yeah. Whistler was in it.
Whistler's mother.
And he wrote songs.
Yeah. And
House of the Rising Sun.
Seth's boy, Levon Helm, was the preacher who got burned alive.
From the band?
Yep. And Zach's boy, that retarded guy that had his porch fixed.
Yeah. Harry Dean Stanton
from Paris, Texas.
Yeah, and Repo Man.
Vim Vendors.
And Lawnmower Man.
No.
Yeah, he was the one guy in Lawnmower Man.
No, he wasn't. Harry Dean Stanton.
He was the guy in that one scene.
Harry Dean Stanton's not in Lawnmower. Look this up. I don't think he is, right?
No, he's not.
Jeff Fahey.
How come I can't just make shit up like you guys do all the time?
Jeff Fahey.
Random people being in random scenes of random movies.
You don't talk
because we're not making it up.
How do you remember this shit?
Because
like,
this
you
is
see a movie like in
life.
TV somewhere one time, and you remember the guy's name, and he's in one scene of some other.
Because I care. I care about movies.
It's so absurd.
It's culture.
You care about.
It's not culture.
It's dead.
Yeah,
it's the new meta, Seth. Quit feeding.
What do you care about?
Power.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I care about Harry Dean Stanton.
I care.
That's
about
a form of power.
He cares about panties.
Really?
Ian cares about dames and broads.
Skirts.
I'm not going to lie.
Chicken heads.
Was that an accent?
I think it was. That was him and his New York lackey accent.
I did not do a lackey accent with him.
Do it again.
I said, hey, I'm not going to lie.
And he said, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
lie.
I'm getting mad. All right.
I ain't mad at you.
So, Mark, what would you give Fire Down Below out of 5 stars?
2.
2.5
You said you enjoyed it.
2.
Mark, can we push that up to 2.5?
Well, now...
yeah. Hey.
So it's like, what can I do to get you into 2.5 tonight?
If you enjoyed that and you give it a 2, what do you give the usual Seagal film?
The usual?
Yeah.
Well, give me an example.
Every Seagal film that's not Fire Down Below. Okay, well, you just said this.
The
was,
average Seagal
you
film.
You said that one was an enjoyable Seagal film.
It's a horrible movie. It's... He's I'm not going to say it's not fun, but it's a horrible movie.
He's hating that.
You don't rate movies based on fun?
That's why you gave it 2, man. You did
I
it
will
two.
Admit there's a curve for movies I saw as a child because of nostalgia factor.
You've seen this one before?
So if you saw that
no,
at the age of 5.
Tender age of 5.
Tender age of 5.
Give it 5
you think
stars.
You would nostalgically give it a 5? 5 stars.
No. I'd probably give it a 3.
I love that part when you find out that Stephen Lang.
Alright, Mark's giving it a 3. Mark's giving it a 3.
If I see it when I was 5, it's a 2.
No, we're saying we're going with a 3.
I didn't give it a 1. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Okay, we're giving Mark a 3.
Three from Mark. Ian, what are you going for?
For this one?
Yeah,
I think this one is a solid 2 out of 5.
What are we working with here? What is this?
We might want to start our own podcast, Zach.
Produce it. I've been saying for years.
Let the betrayers have.
Produce it and I'll edit it. If you guys just want
you and Mark can just watch like you know the piano and shit.
Yeah, you guys
throw some examples out there for me of what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are.
A 1
on the curve.
A 1 is the spirit.
I'll vote for that.
Okay.
Just movies in general or Steven Seagal movies?
No, just movies in general.
Oh, jeez. Well, 1 is like.
The spirit, we already got that.
Ghost Voyage.
I don't know if I've ever given a movie a 1.
The spirit was a good choice.
I'd watch that again.
I would.
It was terrible. I like bad. I like movies.
A 2 is like Sucker Punch.
I like Sucker Punch. It was like hot chicks. Hot dames, sorry. Hot skirts.
Oh, right, because chicks is okay, but dames and skirts and bras.
I don't know, you're the feminist.
I am the feminist.
You tell me.
You're the feminist.
You're the feminist.
He kind of is.
Kind of, yeah. Feminine.
Feminine, yeah, my bad.
I have a heartier beard than you guys.
You don't have a heartier nothing.
Hardy.
Mark's got the only hearty beard here. The rest of us just have George Michael hairdos.
Oh, man. Hair. Not okay.
My beard was approved by what's his fuck?
Jeff Garland
Jeff Garland loved my beard.
That's right, yeah.
Mark's claim to fame. He's never gonna shut up about Jeff Garland.
Mark hasn't watched it since.
He's watched it since.
It was traumatic.
Get it? Because he.
Yeah. Did Jeff Garland tug on your beard during sex?
Oh God. Did he tug in your beard?
Oh man.
Tug off.
He looked at me like I'd lost my mind. So that's something.
Okay, so
you
have
to have a conversation with him after about 15 Jack and Cokes.
I give it a 4¾ stars. I'll be exact.
I'm gonna say it was.
Wait a minute, you didn't finish our context, our scale.
The context is any other movie ever made. It's a 5.
Okay, so as a group, we're giving it a 5.
It averages out to a 5.
Yeah, it averages a 5.
Okay, Supreme Court rules.
Glimmer Man, yeah.
Mark
hasn't seen it, so Mark, what do you think?
based off of what we said about Glimmer Man, what would you give it?
I'm kind of disgusted even to think about it.
When a whole bunch of Asians and Russians attack him and Keenan Ivory in a parking garage, and the guy says... As Steven Seagal says to the guy, how much are they paying you? And he's like, oh, $20,000. And he's like, oh, I can pay you more. And they're like, oh, yeah? And he's like, yeah, let me show you. And he pulls out his wallet, and he pulls out a little credit card.
He's going to pay him in credit.
He's going to pay him with like a gold card, right? And then he flicks a switch on it, and it's got a razor in it. And he slits like 8 dudes' throats in a circle. And then him and Keenan Ivory like kick, mercilessly kick like the 20 other guys with guns, with machine guns, right? And until they're just all dead.
So that's a 5, right, Mark?
So what do you think about Glimmer Man now?
5?
What would you give Glimmer Man now? Based on just that scene alone. Oh, and his ex-wife is brutally murdered and hung on the wall
ritual
like Jesus
style,
by a serial killer.
Yeah, just like Jesus.
Who played the ex-wife?
Some
coos. Mitch Pileggi was in it, too.
Yeah, Mitch Pileggi's lookalike was in it. Brian Cox, Keenan Ivory Wayans playing possibly a gay man. What do you think?
I'm progressive, Mark.
I think it really doesn't matter what I vote because you're going to change it.
No. Give us your real answer based off of our synopsis.
No, I think this voter box is rigged.
There's a hanging Chad on your ballot.
All right. So Mark abstains.
I can't even register a 1.
Mark gives it a 4.
Mark refuses.
Mark gives it a 4.
Yeah. That's a 4 from Mark.
Yep.
Glimmer Man is a 2.5. I liked it better than
that. Okay, so that's a 5.
By a little bit.
I'm thinking 5.
It's a 5 plus.
5 plus.
5 plus.
So that averages out to be about a 6.
Okay.
So Steven Seagal movies get a handicap, is that what you're saying?
A slight handicap, maybe.
Thanks for voting, Mark.
Yeah. If
it's a Democratic process.
If a Steven Seagal movie lands on the green, it's a gimme. It's a gimme putt. So if you count that, he's a scratch golfer. If Ian ever tries to do anything like political with his life, someone will actually listen to one of these podcasts for once, and they'll be like, "Holy crap! Holy crap!"
Well, no, I'll be the only person that's trying to like have a real life.
Yeah.
That ever posted anything on the internet
ever
about anything.
Well, as soon as you decide to do something like that, you're going to have to go back and delete the catalog. Are you have the balls to do that?
No, I'll have the balls to cop to it. And when when they
skirt all the time.
when the Supreme Court's like, "So, looks like you did a podcast about it." I'm like, "Yeah, what of it?" Is it relevant to the proceedings?
Because you own that shit.
Speak to Mike. You own it.
It does speak to
your character. That's the thing now. There is no privacy, so people have to own their shit.
They have to apologize in a really awful way.
No, that will fade out pretty soon because that's becoming. No one buys that. No one's like, "Oh, they apologize and they go to
prison." Let me ask you a few questions on record that'll help.
I think what it really is
on record. Oh, we got some record. It's on the record, Zach.
Oh, so what Ray Rice did to his wife, are you pro or con?
Well, that chin music, Ian.
Right.
So this was
a football player that knocked his wife out, and there's video
in the elevator.
And the context, which isn't really important because the action speaks for itself. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. That's
a pro.
No, that's, isn't that almost, I mean... That's
weren't they lovingly embracing afterwards, though?
No, she was on the ground.
At a certain point,
he's getting arrested.
Yeah.
After the
elevator, she married.
They released the rest.
She married him afterwards.
Yeah, but that's every.
And what's funny is like she's really helping everyone's cause against Ray Rice because she in many interviews has been like, "I deserved it. I shouldn't have said what I said to him." The coolest part of the video is...
You know, Bill Burr has the best point about that, and I think he had a joke, and it was... I think it had to do with the whole Rihanna, Chris Brown shit.
Yeah.
He's like, I have to ask. It's like, what did she say?
Probably nothing, knowing men, right?
That's a pretty straightforward one. I mean, come on.
The best part of the... Ray Rice thing, which it's a really awful part, but like if you're thinking about it from like Ian's point of view, is after he knocks her out with this brutal haymaker and she just drops like a sack.
I've heard that technically he was really good at it because he actually hit her with a
left hook.
Yeah, with a hook, but because of the close proximity. Most people would have fucked that up.
Oh, right, yeah. It was like Bruce Lee's one-inch punch. It's legendary.
Yeah, it was pretty. It's pretty crazy. Pulled
punch
that
he knocked out his tiny wife with. His tiny female wife.
Yeah.
And then he's
can't
like,
they roar?
And he spits on her like John Reno.
What?
I just imagine that John Reno spits on
me. You guys got issues, man.
Like in Godzilla, after they kill Godzilla.
He spits on Godzilla.
He puts his foot on Godzilla's neck and is like, "Pugh!"
Wasn't that...
Screw you, Godzilla!
Don't they have, like, one fewer ribs or some shit, so they're, like, less people?
Godzilla?
Women.
Oh, I don't know.
Dames. Skirts. You're the religious one.
Talking about skirts?
Skirts? Broads?
This has gone into a really, really dark, dark realm all of a sudden.
We're just helping your candidacy.
Is this even postable?
I think this wasn't postable a long time ago. He's actually have to do some editing for the first time in years.
All right, Mark. 1 out of 5 stars. Ray Rice beating his girlfriend. Hey, Mark gives it a 5. Ian.
For the record, I give it a 0. The lowest score I'll ever give any video.
Me too. I think it was only Mark that gave it a 5.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
It is.
The man with the Jeff Garland-approved beard.
Beating women.
Yeah. By association, Jeff Garland just got thrown in jail right now for approving of Ray Rice's video.
Oh my gosh.
You're in cahoots with that guy, that Mark.
I'm cool.
That's awesome.
He beard slaps bitches.
Ian seems pretty bothered by the proceedings today.
Yeah. We need to get back to the basics.
You really need to get back to the basics. Really
watching movies, podcasting about characters and plots. Yep. Themes.
You know, and the really sad thing is, Ian dresses up like Mr. Rogers from these podcasts to try to give like a wholesome vibe. He's wearing a cardigan. He comes in and he takes off his shoes with the laces, and he puts on the slip on shoes while he sings us a gentle song about.
I never understood that.
I've never understood either.
Inside shoes and outside shoes.
He's got his nice clothes for outside, and then like his play clothes.
Yeah, it's play clothes.
When you're a kid, you learn that, especially if you grow up in the woods like I did. You have like your nice shoes and blah blah blah. And then when you get home, you change and you put on your dingy stuff and you go outside and you jump in the pond and you.
But Mr.
build
Rogers
traps.
Was changing to hang out inside his house.
Yeah,
with his
magic. It was a little weaker. But it was more like he took his coat off because he was at work, and then he got his comfortable old man outfit on. And
if he had a job, why did he have to do this show?
The idea was that he was getting home. Sometimes he was going to shoot those dock bits where he'd like go check out like a mushroom cave and shit like that.
Mushroom cave.
Oh yeah. I watched a couple recently. Not recently, but like quite a few years ago.
So you're going to post this as a Steven Seagal review and it's going to have nothing to do with
Steven
Seagal?
We talked a bunch about Steven Seagal.
He's just going
to
have to...
It's going to be Mushroom Cave and racism and sexism.
I'll find it.
He'll find the good stuff. He'll cut out the rest and he'll piece that together and he'll send it to the tax board or something. Be like, here's my brother, he owns a small business.
He's gonna put it in a safety deposit box in the Bahamas.
If anything happens to me,
release this thing
where everyone talks about how I hate women.
Don't hate women. For the record,
Ian doesn't hate broads, dames, any of that. Coozes, what'd you look
at? Coozes.
Another of Ian's coin phrases.
Take a bath on that coos, huh?
You're seriously not going to cut that?
I'll have to find the right context.
What I like is when we push him to the point where he's like, I'm not cutting it at all. I'm not cutting it at all. And then he like marches downstairs and posts it. And you know the next day he's just sitting in his bedroom going like...
You know what's sad is when we first started doing podcasts, I really didn't give that much thought. I mean, that kind of shit
happened
a little bit, actually. There are some things I've said on these podcasts I kind of wish I hadn't. But
I don't. I actually do edit stuff, by and large.
Name one?
Yeah.
We turn it off.
You can retract it. No, he can keep it on.
Yeah, retract.
Yeah.
This is like.
I don't think he wants to retract. I think he's just saying he doesn't want to. Wishes it wasn't public info. Is this about your penis, Mark?
Yes, we did like 12 episodes.
A series.
One for every inch. Today we're in the midsection of Mark's.
Episode 12, the glons. Episode 7, the meatus.
No, I'm saying that when we first started doing the podcast, I guess maybe it's just a little bit of naivete, but people really weren't getting in trouble for online shit.
You had to know this was going somewhere, though. You had to know that one day...
This is getting meta, man.
One day, the Fuel podcast would be...
Undoing of us all.
The thing. And everyone's listening to it. Everyone's talking about it in the schoolyard, the jail yard. Everyone's
water cooler.
It's kind of a creepy thing.
Everyone's talking about the Fuel podcast on the streets.
No, there is an aspect.
Sometimes I'll frequent alleys, and I hear bums talking about the Fuel podcast from their hovels.
Yes.
You know what creeped me out was at the last Fuel podcast party when you briefly introduced me to Michael, and she recognized my voice. You'd watched or listened to the Leviathan podcast.
Right, yeah.
That's a good one.
And I started thinking, it's like, oh my shit.
I'm a star.
Yeah.
You know what?
It went to your head, didn't
thing
you?
Did I say?
You didn't say anything horrible
in that one.
I don't.
We push some boundaries here.
If
there,
we do, we do with a sense of humor.
What is this fucking pussy bullshit?
Yeah, exactly. If we don't,
some people don't have a sense of humor.
Then that's their problem.
Some people, nobody has a sense of humor. That's what we're here for, Mark. We have an obligation.
People out there that don't.
Now
like
what I'm saying is
denigration of women. It's their problem.
What I'm saying is, in certain circumstances, if anyone, you know, it
Ian's the Steven Seagal of the podcast world. He just goes through.
Ian's the Steven Seagal of everything.
Ian treats the Steven Seagal films as self-help videos. He watches them to see how he should act.
So that's what I should have done to those guys at the bowling alley.
That's what I should have done. Any woman that I feel strongly toward, I should just grab her by the nape of the neck and lead her in the direction I want.
No, you gotta fix her fucking porch first. At least say you're gonna do it.
Well, right.
And then buy her some bees so she can.
Hey, baby, you need some bees on your porch.
What if you just,
your impression of yourself doing something like with a woman is always the most Sizzlack voice.
Right. Yeah,
what if you just like went over to some girl's house with like bees, and it's like,
I brought you some bees.
I bet
most of them are dead.
No, you bring live bees.
Okay,
and then
makes sense. Yeah, let's take.
You call her honey.
No, hey, say, good touch.
You say, hey, honey, I brought you some bees.
Brought you some bees.
Mm-hmm. Now eat them!
You know, why
if you ever break up with me, it's sure gonna stink.
You could just bring her the movie, honey.
Yeah, I could bring her the movie. With
Jessica Alba?
Jessica Alba?
Isn't
the hot shit teaching kids to dance movie?
I didn't see it.
I did.
Oh, I bet you did see. This doesn't want to have it on the record. For the union,
it
the moral clause.
His union clause.
Thou shall not watch
honey. The honey clause. The honey clause is union contract.
They're like, look, we all do it, but
we just can't talk about watching honey.
Well, Ian, what else do you have to say about this?
What about the shame?
I don't know.
What about the fear of having to watch 30 more Seagal movies? That's going to take another 6 years.
You realize that all of us are now involved in a 30 more Seagal movie chicken.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
This is the most epic thing ever.
How many have you watched so far?
I mean, I've probably seen like 15 Seagal movies.
No, but together.
At the same time.
How many have you and me and Ian watched?
8.
I don't even think we've watched 8, have
maybe
we?
Maybe not. I mean, I've watched that many with Ian, maybe.
Watched like six.
You and I betrayed Seth when we watched Above the Law that one night.
Whoa.
No, we didn't betray Seth. We said, hey, Seth, be here to watch Above the Law. And he's like, yeah, I'll be there. And then he stayed here.
Same way with Hard to Kill.
Yeah, sounds like somebody's playing Bangkok Rules.
What's the movie with the bees?
Fire Down Below?
No, Candyman.
Yes, I was going to say that.
Candyman. That's got a Playboy. Baywatch chicken, right?
You might be thinking of Candyman too.
The second one,
Farewell to the Flesh,
Virginia Madsen.
What was Candyman?
The second one,
no.
The first one was Virginia Madsen.
Okay.
The second one was the Baywatch girl, like the fourth string Baywatch blonde.
Fourth string.
Yeah,
fourth string,
like eight Baywatch seasons blonde. In.
The like petite, short-haired one.
No.
Who watched? Did you watch Baywatch?
I used to try.
Did I watch Baywatch? Of course not. But no, she was in like season 7.
Oh, I still have some.
I want to say Obi tried to bang her at some point.
You recorded Baywatch?
Yeah.
Dude, do you not know
this
what
is
Baywatch
like
was?
The pre-internet
yeah.
age, dude.
This is the pre-internet age, and we were all like 11 years old. You're not going to watch Baywatch?
Did you watch Baywatch?
You're going to have to edit this whole thing out. You're going to have to. Once you're gonna have to be like when the part after Seth is like, "What are you calling this one?" You're just a fat guy. That's the end.
What bothers me about this is we actually have time, and we're still arguing about this.
What time?
It's what, an hour and a half.
No, Ian's got to wake up and go to work.
We could watch Under Siege after this.
But Seth's not paying around for that.
No.
Then we have plenty. We have all the time in the world. We watch it next time.
Yep.
We have all the time in the world.
You're gonna keep that on.
You'll keep what?
What you just did? Thank you. Because we have a lot of movies to watch.